Good morning, everyone. Good to see you. Welcome to the Shore Community Church. I'm Jamie. I'm one of the ministers here. It's really good to see you all here gathered in the room, and also if you're joining us online, very good, very pleased that you're joining us. You're very welcome. It's good. I was going to say it's good to see you, but I can't see you, so it wouldn't make sense. But it's good that you're joining us. We're going to start our time together with some worship. If you're able, if you're comfortable, please stand with me as we worship. If not, if you prefer to sit, that's absolutely fine. We're going to ask that today as we come into God's presence, we're always in God's presence, but as we become aware of God's presence, as we become aware of the presence of one another, we are the church together. There's something special, there's something unique that God has called forth in speaking of a people, of a body that we get the privilege to be part of. As we become aware of that today, as we perhaps become aware of why we're here, of what God wants to say to us, what we have to say to God, what we have to be and say to one another, our prayer is that He will open our eyes to His presence.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
Let's sing that again. Open the eyes of my heart.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy.
Open the eyes of my heart.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
Open the eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
See high.
To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out the power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy.
Holy, holy.
Holy, holy.
Your want today.
Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy.
desire of our hearts.
Holy, 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 I want to see you.
God of love, God of life, God of glory. Lord, we bring you our praise this morning. We bring you our praise to acknowledge that you are our God and that you love us. Lord, we want to see you this morning. We want to experience you. We want to tangibly feel your presence. So, Lord, we ask that you move in this space through your Holy Spirit. That you anoint each one of us with your blessing, with your hope, with your life, with your wonder. We ask this in your name. Amen. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Shore. I'm Nick. I'm the other minister here. It's great to see all of you guys and to have you guys online as well. So a few things to share with you. The first is that we had a church meeting last week. We shared lots of things about the life of the church in the year ahead and some really exciting things there. And one of the exciting elements of that was to be able to welcome Julie Passmore. Give us a wave, Julie, back as a trustee in the church. So it's brilliant to have Julie back in the mix. So a round of applause to Julie. I don't know why she's putting herself through that again, but we're very grateful for it. So yes, lots of other things shared there, but we will be sending out the details and the minutes of that meeting. Another notice is, we've been updating our health and safety policy, and what we're putting a call out for is if we can possibly get any health and safety assistance from someone. So someone who is able to help in implementing the policy, someone who could maybe has some experience in health and safety, and would be willing to maybe help maybe on a weekly basis, monthly basis, even yearly basis. Any input would be really appreciated. So if you are able to help with that, please do contact Jamie or myself. It would be wonderful if someone was able to take on some responsibility in that area. It would be of great assistance. Also, a notice that I shared last week about the Haven. Hopefully for you guys who came last week, you took away a questionnaire. If you didn't get one last week, if you didn't come along last week, then please do grab a questionnaire. There's a couple still scattered around on the seats, but there is a load at the front in the foyer. So the questionnaire is basically all about how we can evaluate the work that the Haven, which is where the cafe works out of as well, and all of this theme around wellbeing, the work of the Haven, how we can be better doing what we're doing and how we can be really connecting with what the needs are of this community, of the wider community. We don't want to just guess what those needs are. We want to really discern what they are and then to see where the gaps are and to see what we can be doing. So any completion of that questionnaire is really helpful. If you could complete it, drop it into the church office or email it to me, that would just be really great. Also, a notice about the prayer meeting. We've got prayer meeting tomorrow evening, 7:45 over Zoom. You're really welcome to join in with that. It's normally about 45 minutes long, but just really valuable to pray into the life of the church and into anything that is particularly on our hearts at the moment for ourselves or for those that we have permission to share about as well. So 7:45 tomorrow evening, if you haven't had the Zoom link, do get in touch with us and we can send that over to you. I'm just going to invite John up. He's just going to be sharing a little bit about the finances of the church and the offering.
Thank you, Nick. Good morning, everybody. How are you all? Good. Just let me put my timer on. I don't want to have that walking stick around the back of my neck. So I shared a bit at the church meeting about the church finances, and knowing that people usually glaze over with numbers and spreadsheets, I got a little picture which I shared. So I don't know if Carla could put that up. Hopefully. So look, it's a bit of a challenge to balance our budget for the year. Now, challenges can be good and challenges can be bad. If you ask Laura about my DIY skills, they're a real challenge to her patience. But if you look at things like what Simon Whitehead organised for the swimming marathon, that is a really excellent challenge. You know, a challenge that stretches us and really takes us to a place. So we have good and bad challenges in the year ahead. Good challenges are the Haven Project. We really want to stretch every sinew with that project. We want to get to as many people as possible. We're not going to live it safe on the finances for that, because if we've got a spare penny, we want to spend it on that. We have big plans for what we can do for youth in this church and in this community. There is a huge issue in helping young people recover from the pandemic and the isolation. We want to be at the vanguard of that. Work with children. We are blessed to have Amanda Smith and others who are really gifted and a real godly calling on their lives to work with children. We want to do more. You know, we want to be able to fund more work. We want to be able to give money out to partners who work in the world. Ian Wardle and YEA would be an obvious candidate. So those are really great challenges. You know, I guarantee I will spend every penny going with your support and help on those sort of things. On the challenges that aren't so good, our energy costs are likely to go up by about £7,500 this year. That's half the cost of that's 6 months' cost of a youth worker for a year. That's a huge headwind. Our building, you know, we see lovely parts that we work in, but behind the scenes, things are crumbling a bit. There's statutory things we have to make sure we get right, like emergency lighting and the fire alarms. These are challenges which are difficult for us to manage, and you know, we need to look at different ways of sorting that out. We get grants. A lot of the good work we do is aided by, for example, the Haven Project, generous donations from individuals, and grants. That's great. We're really looking at how we can use this building to get more income through rental. If you speak to Carla, we've got something on the website, we've got some flyers. We really could bring significant extra funds into this organisation by using our building as effectively as possible. We're prayerful and we're mindful that we need to see increased giving. We've seen a slide on giving, in regular giving in 2021, and in many ways, in the natural, that's quite understandable with the cost of living and people feeling quite worried about their personal circumstances. But we absolutely commit this to the Lord. We know that, you know, he is Jehovah Jireh. He will provide. But also, we're very careful as a finance team to review exactly what's going on. You know, we're not going to be profligate with the church money. And we look every single month and we very carefully review and pray where we are. So I just want to throw it open. We're open as a team, and certainly I am as a treasurer, to your advice and suggestions. We're extremely grateful for your sacrificial giving and all you do for this church in money and in your time. If you've got any ideas or any suggestions you'd like to share with me, please email them to me, and I'd love to look through those and respond to you. Thank you very much. 4 minutes, 11 seconds.
Yeah, I'd only been given 30 seconds. I'm just going to invite Ruth to come up and share a little bit about what they're going to be doing in Kids Church today.
Yeah, I didn't actually realise there was a time limit. Oh my goodness, nobody told me. What a shame.
Only for John,
okay. Okay, so basically I've got a little challenge for you all. I am going to challenge some people particularly, but this is a challenge for you to think about for next week. So in Kids Church, we've been learning about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So I spoke about that a few weeks ago. And now we're going to learn about the fruit of the Spirit. So when you ask the Holy Spirit to be with you and fill you, you start changing as a person to be more like the Holy Spirit. And the Bible describes this a little bit like fruit in a fruit tree. So there's a lot of growing and learning to do. But eventually, just like a tree has fruit, we start to show characteristics like the Holy Spirit. But what are these characteristics? So I've got a little challenge that I've asked a few people to help with. So I'd like you to welcome up Amanda and Alistair. And Katrin is going to be the adjudicator. And I'm going to challenge... come up the front. Stand up on the... Up the steps, face the front. So, and actually there is a prize. I have a prize in my bag here. So, you know, just to make it a bit more of a challenge. So I'm going to challenge Amanda first. And this is something the kids are very good at. No pressure. I want to say no pressure because I asked Joe Parnell. Where's Joe Parnell? I asked Joe to do this when we were preparing and she could only do four. So there's no pressure on either of you to... You know how wise Joe is. What I want you to do, in 10 seconds, I would like you to name all the fruits of the Spirit. Okay, on your marks, get set, go.
Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control.
Did you do it? That was actually phenomenal, wasn't it? 6 seconds. I mean, we have been doing it in Kids Church, and Amanda's part of Kids Church. And you've had a little bit of time to prepare now. So on your marks, get set, go.
All of them.
That's definitely cheating. Come on. On your marks, get set, go.
Love, kindness, joy, self-control. No, I know, I've taught on these. And I said I wasn't going to be embarrassed.
Stop. How many was that? It was about six,
four.
Wasn't it? Four. Pretty good, seeing as I gave you absolutely no warning. And I have a prize. And one for you. So maybe next week we'll do it again and choose somebody different next time. Thank you. So that's your challenge for next week. But in order to do this challenge, I'm going to give you the Bible verse, okay? Galatians 5. Verses 22 to 23. So next week, if you want to have a little read of the Bible and find out exactly what fruits you will grow if you invite the Holy Spirit in. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. I'm doing it a bit slower than Amanda. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So that's your homework for next week, everybody. Thank you very much. And the kids are going to know it very well because we've got two very fast and silly songs to learn, which we might share with you in a couple of weeks. Thank you.
Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Gentleness, self-control. So close.
Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Spurgeons.
Whatever. On that note, we're going to take up our offering. We're not handing the baskets round, but what we ask, we've got a basket there, and at the back. So after the service, if you feel able to give through cash, there's those baskets, but if not, there's ways of giving online as well. So that can be regular giving or that can be one-off donations. So that's if you feel a part of this church, if you feel connected, if you want to help continue the work of the church, then we just appreciate anything that you can give, as John was sharing earlier. But now we're going to have a song and then the kids will go out. Is that all right with you guys? Brilliant. Cool. We'll have a song and then the kids will head out.
Down with me if you're able. If you'd like to, that'd be great.
Let the King of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, he is my song. Let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the fountain of my life. Oh, he is my song. You are good, good. Oh, you are good, good. Oh, you are good. The king of my heart be the wind inside my sails, the anchor in the waves. Oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days. Oh, he is my song. You are good, good. Oh, you are good, good. Oh, yes, you are good, good. Oh, you are good, good. Oh, you're never gonna let me down. 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 You're never gonna let. Never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let me down. You are good, good. Oh, yes, you are good. Is holding on to me. God is holding on. When the night is holding on to me, God is holding on. Lord, you're so good. We give you praise. We give you glory. We just pray for our kids and our young folks as they head out. Pray for those that will be teaching and guiding them this morning. Pray for inspiration, energy, passion, fun. Lord, let your blessing rest on these wonderful kids and these adults looking after them. Hallelujah. Okay, guys, if you want to head on out, have a great morning. We'll see you in a little while. I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet. My Savior on that cursed tree, his body bound and drenched in tears, They laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. At break of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again. Oh, trampled death, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ the King, for Christ the King. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forevermore. For endless days we will sing Your praise. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord our God. Oh, praise the name. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forevermore. For endless days we will sing Your praise. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord our God. He shall return in robes of white. The blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints, my gaze transfixed on Jesus' face. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forevermore. For endless days we will sing Your praise. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord our God. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forevermore. For endless days we will sing Your praise. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord our God. For endless days we will sing Your praise. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord our God. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord our God.
Just as we reflect on these amazing words, these amazing truths of who Jesus is, what He has done, and what our faith is all about, just really encourage you just to ground that, to make that your personal prayer time now. Where does this lead you, this song? Where does this worship lead you? Make your prayer to God. You can pray out loud. You can pray just in the quietness of your own heart. But just let's own this time to pray before the Lord, to do business with Him.
Jesus, we thank you that you went through that. You were Messiah still and alone in that tomb, and you fought for us. Thank you, Jesus, that you went through that pain so that we might be reunited with you, with your Father. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you did for us.
is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. And the Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all that he has made. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. And the Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all that he has made. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east, as far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed the transgressions from us.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord. Praise the
just our voices.
Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. I'm going to pray for Nick now as he comes to share the word with us. Lord, will you just open up Nick's heart today to share your heart for us, his ears to hear your word, that your love to flow through him and minister to our souls in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Brilliant. Right, let's get this turned on. If we could just get that up on the screen, that would be brilliant. Great. So, this morning we are continuing in our series, Prayer, Songs in the Key of Life. So Jamie spent a few weeks setting the scene, and then from last week what we started doing is taking a week each time, a sermon each time, to unpack an element or a component of prayer. So last week Jamie shared about getting your praise on, and he was sharing about how we express our love for God through praise, and that it's not only about our communication or our thankfulness to God, but also about how praising God shapes our own realities as well. So do check that out. That's online, that's on Facebook and on the website and on YouTube and on everything else as well. Do check that out for last week and for the kind of setting the scene of this series. But this week, we are reflecting on the revision of repentance. So, nice, easy one, all about repentance. So, that word revision, I hate the word revision, to be completely honest with you. When I was in school, it was my worst enemy. I mean, even now, just the idea of revising for something, it gives me the heebie-jeebies. The understanding of revision, we kind of think of it as, you know, let's go over it again and again and refocus on that. But also the root of the word revision is about, it's about a change or a set of changes that corrects or improves something or brings about a new version of something. But then also in this is vision. A vision where what we're hoping to do this morning is to point us towards a new vision about how we can approach repentance as a part of our prayer lives and a part of our lives in general as well. So do we like repentance? When I say the word repentance or repent, do you like that? Yeah? Does that warm the cockles of your soul? Perhaps not. Yeah, I should do that, shouldn't I? I don't want to hurt my hand. Repent! No, that was a bit of an anticlimax, wasn't it? Jamie's the enthusiastic, expressive one, so. But yes, repentance. We probably don't particularly warm to that as a word, do we? Or as a concept. I sometimes ask people to chat with one another next to you. So what if I was to ask you, what have you repented recently? Yeah, do you want to chat to your neighbour about that? Perhaps not. I can see John's already chatting away. He's eager to do it. But maybe in that moment you feel just a little bit uncomfortable. Why? Why do we feel uncomfortable in that moment? What does repentance mean to us? I think we probably think of it as meaning sorry, about it meaning perhaps deep regret. And the roots of repentance within the Bible can be found in sacrifice. That actually people would sacrifice an animal to make themselves right with God, to bring praises to God, but also to make themselves right, to do something in order to become right with God. And obviously sacrifice is an old system. Hopefully you guys don't do that anymore, otherwise that would be a bit awkward. But this whole sacrifice system, we don't have that now, not in the Western world, but actually this was a system for thousands of years. This question of what do I have to do to be made right with God? And obviously we don't do that now in the same way. But actually, when we still think about repentance, we struggle, or maybe I'm just speaking for myself here, we struggle to get past it. If we put repentance first, we kind of struggle to look beyond that. If we're praying and we are trying to compel ourselves to repent about something, that can be quite a barrier as well. And we kind of see it as the first thing that we need to do before we can do anything else, that we have that in order. And we can kind of perhaps see that in the Bible. And maybe that's where we feel we've drawn that from, that repentance comes first. We have the story of, in Acts 2, of the Holy Spirit coming at Pentecost. And then Peter shares the good news to the crowd. And when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So perhaps when we look at that, we think of it as an order. The first thing Peter says in response is repent. It's very clear, isn't it? That must be the first thing that you have to do to be made right with God, that you have to be made right with God first before those other things. And it could be seen, or has been seen, as a bit of a menu, a bit of a guide for life. We'll all have come across or heard about different tracts over the years, and where it's kind of a bit of a step-by-step guide of how you work your way through. This is quite a well-known one: admit, believe, commit. Admit first and foremost that you are a sinner. Oh, I'm not a big fan, if you hadn't guessed. But yes, admit, believe, commit. And this is in so many different paraphernalia that's been sent out to different people over the years as the good news. How to convert people to Christianity is this step-by-step guide. You must do this, and then you do this, and then this, in order for this thing to be able to happen. And perhaps this is how Peter's words have been viewed as well. That actually, in order to be forgiven by Jesus, you first have to repent and then be baptized, and then Jesus will forgive you. And only after all of that will you receive the Holy Spirit. Seems quite clear. But actually, the problem is that the rest of the Bible, or lots of other parts of the Bible, seem to then get that wrong. This step-by-step guide is actually then all over the place. Just a few chapters later, in Acts 9, some of you will remember this as we journeyed through Acts earlier last year as well. So the story of Cornelius and his household in Acts 9, and actually that they had the Holy Spirit with them long before baptism or being told to repent. And then actually, when we look at this passage again in Acts 2, if we were to look at it in the Greek, it leaves it quite ambiguous, really. It's all one long flowing sentence. It's much more fluid than how it seems to be broken down when we read it on paper. It's not actually a step-by-step guide, but it's kind of all intermingled together. And what that means to us is that we shouldn't be so worried about this step-by-step guide. Actually, the order is less important than the elements. But we still struggle with the concept of repentance, don't we? We struggle with prayer. I know for myself, over many years, have often struggled with prayer, where I feel like I need to repent first, I need to be made right with God before I can then pray about other things. And then you might feel bad about what you're trying to repent about, and then you just feel guilty, and then you end up not even communicating with God at all because you don't feel that you can get past that thing. And it can be a real barrier. But why is that? We don't have sacrifices anymore. We don't have that system anymore. I was chatting with some friends recently who are Christians, and they were talking about a mutual friend between the two of them. And they were saying that this person's really messed up. They've done a lot of bad things. And before they actually come back to church, they need to go through a journey of repentance. They need to repent first. And once again, that word first, there seemed to need to be an order there in what they were saying for this friend. And then when I probed a little bit further, it was kind of the understanding was that this person basically needed to feel bad about what they had done and to say sorry to God. So actually what repentance was essentially being boiled down to there was to feel guilt, to feel shame, to feel regret, not only to God, but actually all of this then needs to be articulated to the Christian community in order for that person to be accepted back. So there was some serious judgment of this person that was going on there, not only to meet God's standards, but the church's high standards as well. And a bit of a side note here, often coupled with repentance, it always seems to be around sexual sin. I don't know about you guys with what you've come across in church life or perhaps in CUs or things like that, where there's been an emphasis on sexual sin as being the biggest thing that always needs to be repented. So less of a focus on greed, that's not such a big thing, or accruing loads of wealth and giving very little away to the needy. No, that's not such a big problem, really. No, if anything, that's sometimes seen as being successful. What about gossiping and judging others? That often goes on as well. But actually, no, it's sexual sin that's seen as the worst, the very worst thing possible. And this notion of repentance often being wrapped up in it. But of course, there's plenty of other things as well that we feel called to repent about. So what is repentance? Is it about guilt? Is it about feeling shame? Is it about feeling regret? Well, it is all part of, it's a part of our human psyche to kind of allow our shortcomings to define us, to allow the things that we don't feel that we're good enough at to maybe consume us, where we feel inadequate with other people, and then when that comes to God, we feel inadequate with God as well. And we can then struggle to get past that first hurdle. In ministry, I've come across lots of people with struggles, and overwhelmingly, it's often people who feel inadequate. The previous minister that I worked with up north, he's been a minister in one village for 22 years. And he was sharing that actually primarily the biggest worry that folk have told him about when he's met with people in the village is this overwhelming sense of, I'm just not good enough. And we so often have this sense that we have to be good enough in order to go to church, or we have to be good enough for God to love us. It's as if God has a really, really high bar that we've got to reach in order to be made right with him, that we've got to reach a certain threshold. And if we don't do that, then God won't want to be our friend. Or when it comes to praying, that we don't feel good enough to pray to God because of what we've done wrong, and it can then act as a barrier. So what is repentance really all about? Well, the early Christian writers in the New Testament, they wrestled with the implications of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. And they recognized that actually something new had emerged. The old system of repentance through sacrifice was obsolete. It was irrelevant. That actually Jesus' life, death, resurrection had changed everything. In Colossians 1, we have these words from Paul. He says, "For in him," meaning Jesus, "all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through him, God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross." All things. Those words translated in the Greek mean all things. Yes, thank you, Simon, you got it. All things, everything, all things are reconciled through Jesus. God has reconciled himself to all things through Jesus. We don't need sacrifices. We don't need to make ourselves right with God first. We don't have to feel guilt and shame in order to be loved and blessed, or even to be able to engage with God. So that's great. We don't have to feel the guilt and the shame. But then what is the point of repentance without that? What does it even mean without having to feel the guilt and the shame? A professor of New Testament teaching, Michael Skinner, says these words. Somehow, most people hear repentance and think first of behavior and guilt, as if Jesus' primary goal was to reform personal morality. But this is to misunderstand repentance. The word translated as repent is at its root about thinking and perception. It refers to a wholesale change in how a person understands something. It implies an utter reconfiguration of your perspective on reality and meaning, including a reorientation of yourself toward God. Your behavior might change as a result of this new perception, certainly, but repentance first involves seeing things differently and coming to a new understanding of what God makes possible. So repentance, that's not obsolete. Repentance is vital. And we've all been on different journeys of repentance for many different things, I'm sure. In my own childhood, you know, I don't think I was explicitly racist as a child, but actually in school there were lots of words bandied around, and then you would maybe bandy around the words yourself, and then when you grow up, you stop using those words, of course, and wouldn't think of myself as supporting racism in any way whatsoever. I didn't think I struggled with that. I saw people as equal. I didn't think that colour mattered. And then there was the George Floyd death a couple of years ago, and I felt really challenged by that. And I started reading a couple of different books and really came to understand that actually not seeing colour is actually a real problem. That's part of the problem. And staying silent is part of the problem. And I repented that. Not because of guilt and shame. Yes, there would have been some in the mix. But actually repenting as an act of learning. Repenting as an act of transformation. Of feeling challenged and wanting, feeling compelled to try and do things differently. I asked you earlier to turn to your neighbour and ask whether you've repented recently and what have you repented about. Maybe if I'd asked you the question, what have you learned recently? I wonder if you'd have felt a little bit more comfortable with that. That's a little bit easier, isn't it? But repentance is ultimately reflecting about our actions, learning about ourselves, and learning about our direction of travel. One of my most favourite verses in the Bible is Romans 12, very well known, where Paul says, "Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Connecting heart and mind, repentance and growth all together. So repentance, it's not simply feeling sorry about doing something wrong and saying, "I'm really sorry, God, I'm never going to do that again," or "I'm going to try my hardest to never do that again." It's not just about changing our actions, but actually it implies this utter reconfiguration of our perspective, of our reality and meaning. And it stems from a reorientation of ourselves towards God. A realigning of ourselves with God's priorities. So what's the point of repentance? It's to ground us. It's to open us up. It's to remind us to tap into the peace that has already been made through Christ who offered himself. Once again, Michael Skinner shares these words. Repentance names the change that occurs within us when God meets us and reshapes our understanding. I'll just repeat that again. Repentance names the change that occurs within us when God meets us and reshapes our understanding. Any form of repentance that piles on weight about who you are and who you aren't, what you're not good at, all the ways that you fall short, piles on the guilt, anxiety, worry, and stress, or separates you in a way that means that you don't feel able to engage with God until you've made yourself right with God. I wouldn't say that is very Christian. That's not very biblical. The only proper Christ-centered way of repenting is one that reminds you, that refreshes you, that awakens you, that opens you up to the God who has made peace with all things on heaven and earth. It's the recognition that we are opening ourselves up to God's action in our lives and that God wants nothing more than the best for us. So what do we do with repentance? Well, the early Christian writers take the imagery of sacrifice and then kind of hijack it or co-opt it into an even bigger idea. Once again, that verse in Romans 12 that I just shared, the verse just before that is where Paul says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. So what Paul calls people to do is to put flesh and blood on the reconciliation of all things, to actually act it out in living, breathing skin and bones, to offer yourself as a living example of what repentance, of what transformation looks like, of what God's reconciliation of all things actually looks like. And then the writer of Hebrews, they speak against sacrifice, and they talk about how you don't have to be made right with God through the sacrifice of animals. And instead, the writer calls us to spur one another on toward love and good deeds. And that's what repentance is about. It is about a transformation. It's realizing where we were heading and then realigning ourselves to God's ways. We often think of repent as a woe is me kind of attitude. And yes, we should be sad for the times that we mess up, for the actions that we've actually taken part in. But actually along there should actually be some joy. I know that sounds completely contradictory to the word repentance, but to experience joy in it, that actually something new is being born in us. Repentance calls us to transformation in Christ, which I don't know about you guys, but for me sounds like a pretty good thing. Rather than just sadness for what we have done, but actually realizing and understanding it in a new light can give reason to deep joy. A joy that God is working in us. A joy that we are being changed from within. A joy that we are not stuck and destined to do the same thing over and over again. A joy that we are not stuck on those old paths, but that actually we can journey with God on his path. A revision of repentance, or a new vision of repentance, is about discovering joy in repentance and about that transformation that brings growth and life. I'm going to invite Jamie and the band to come up now just as I pray. Lord, we thank you for the joy of repentance. We thank you that we are able to repent, that we have that opportunity to change our direction, to change our course of action. Lord, we thank you that you enable us to realign ourselves with your ways, Lord. So, Lord, I pray that we can take that message, to take the message of Paul of renewing and transforming our minds, to take the message of your reconciliation of all things. Lord, as we bring it into our prayer lives, may we not see repentance as a barrier, a thing that we have to do first to be made right with you. Lord, may you help enable us to experience repentance as a core part of our being. Lord, as we bring our prayer and our praise to you, may we feel invigorated. May we feel joy in that. May we be realigned with you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that you give us time and time again to repent. And may we offer our bodies as living sacrifices so that others can see the transformation in our lives and enable the transformation of Christ in their lives too. Amen. Thank you.
I wonder how those words are going to connect with us now. And all that Nick has shared, is your response one of reflection, one of joy, like he said? I hope that, if nothing else, you've heard his encouragement that wherever you are, whatever you've done, whoever you are, you can approach your Heavenly Father. You're not held at arm's length at all. You are welcomed home with an embrace, with a kiss.
I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard a tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. Who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. And I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but searching for answers, only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am, it's who I am. You're a good, good father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. You're perfect, you are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable. I can hardly think as you call me deeper still. still as you call me, deeper still into love, love, love. Yes, you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still as you call me, deeper still into love, love, love. You're a good, good Father. To you are who you are, to you are, and I'm loved by you. To I am, to I am, to I am. Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me, all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. I surrender. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Lord, we give you the glory this morning.
we give you glory because you are a mighty Saviour. Whatever situation we're in, whatever challenges, whatever struggles we face, whatever, wherever we've been, whatever we've done, whoever we think we are, Lord, you have a better word to say about us. You speak the words of life. You speak the word of truth. You speak the word that you have reconciled all things to you. Yes, and I'm one of those things. And you are one of the things. And all my brothers and sisters in this place and joining us online are one of those things that you have reconciled to yourself. You are mighty to save. Whatever chasms we might face, whatever valleys we might be walking through, Lord, give us the strength to keep walking because you are right there with us. You're leading us up and out into your presence, into the mountain of your presence, Lord. Your glory shines around, Lord, wherever we open our eyes to see it. Lord, will you be with us this week? Will you guide us? Will you lead us in the name of Jesus, the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit? Amen.